Everyone, welcome to the Sketchnote Army podcast. This is the kickoff episode of season 4 of the Sketchnote Army podcast. Everyone's been bugging me to get this thing going again, so we figured it's time to get it rolling. And I wanted to start it off with a special edition, I guess you'd say, recapping the International Sketchnote Camp that happened in Hamburg, Germany, about a month ago as we record this. It's hard to believe. We were just reminiscing about some of the fun things we did, and we thought it would be fun to capture the spirit of it and sort of describe what happened. For those of you who were there, you can relive it a little bit, and those who weren't there, you can sort of get an idea of what it was like, so that when it comes up again in a year or two or whatever, whenever you can make it, you'll have a sense of what it's like and be encouraged to come. It was a fantastic experience. So with me is my lovely wife, Gail. She was she came along with me and supported me. And I think I wanted to have her along as sort of a outside observer. She's not as deep into the Sketchnote community as my other guests and I are, of course. So it'll be fun to hear, I guess, an outsider's perspective to some degree. And then the other guest that I have on the show is Prof. Michael Clayton from San Antonio, Texas. Mike, say hello.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
Doing good. And Gail, why don't you say hello as well?
Hello as well.
So this is going to be a fun one. So I think I want to do it is we'll sort of describe what the experience was like going to the event. And what happened. And I think I want to talk a little bit about the main event was on Saturday, but we actually had some workshops on Friday. And I was reminiscing yesterday how almost immediately the vibe of the community hit me, kind of like a tidal wave. It was kind of crazy. So I want to first have Mike sort of give sort of a description from his perspective, and we'll just sort of throw in ideas and comments as he talks about it. And describe today, and then we'll sort of come back and talk about some of the observations about the community and where we think sketchnoting is going as a community so that you can be encouraged. So, Mike, why don't you talk about your experience a little bit, and then we'll add our two cents after that.
Well, I think that the experience, to put it in context, you know, back in February, we had the meetup out at NIST that Rob DeMeo organized. And I think that became the litmus for Katharina Thijs Bruhl to do something over in Europe. And getting together the Fab Four, they put together a wonderful 2 days of events. The reason they did 2 days is because they thought that one day, you know, would be a little bit too little for the cost and for the travel. So the day before, they did a workshop or a set of workshops in the afternoon. And I think what was really cool about that is I had the same feeling that I had, you know, when we first met up in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I met Rob and Katharina and Mariana and Pastor Gary all for the first time, and it just seemed like we had known each other for years. And that was the same feeling that I got from the workshops that we had.
Yes.
That afternoon. And I'm sitting here, I've got my pictures up in front of me, and I remember just walking in and seeing all these faces that I've known online forever. And I love the hashtag IRL, you know, in real life. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of the feeling that was happening while we were in there. And I remember taking that big group picture and looking around and seeing Claire and seeing Mathis and seeing Luis and seeing Karen again and Chris and Mark and Mauro and just, you know, I hadn't talked to many of them yet, but I just felt like I was among friends. And I think that's what made the afternoon and even the next day so much more enjoyable, was because it was a meeting of the minds, so to speak. And that's what really impressed me. Hmm. Was even though we had never been in the same room before, it was really cool to see them and to feel that vibe. And the workshops that they had several workshops going on. They had a workshop on urban sketching. They had a workshop on graphic facilitation. They had a workshop on the community. And that's the one that you and I were both in.
Right.
With Mauro Ticelli and Mark. I call him Mark B because I always butcher his name.
I think it is. Yeah. Bourguignon. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, he's Mark, but it was a really cool workshop that talked about community and how, you know, even though we're all individuals and we all have something in common with sketchnoting, just the way that we built the community and the way we interact and the different exercises that he took us through and the explanations for it, I don't want to use the term too lightly, but it was magical. It was just a really, really fun time as we, and those who were there will understand, you know, as we bumped into each other.
Yeah, literally.
As we literally bumped into each other going around the room and then trying to connect and trying to understand what it was like to put a community together. That's what really kind of touched me about that afternoon and became such a wonderful, wonderful entry into the festivities for the next day.
Yeah, I agree. I think you touched on something I think is a big advantage of the community that we built and the kind of community we've built is we've had the advantage of building it remotely and apart from each other for the most part. I mean, I think several of the French sketchnoters have gotten together and Germans have gotten together. You and I have been together before on different occasions. So some of us have gotten together, but not all at one time. But being able to communicate like we do and share things in different social media environments, Twitter and Instagram or Facebook or whatever, we sort of build like all that preliminary stuff is sort of back in history, right? You sort of built this whole relationship. So when you meet that person in real life, you don't have to deal with any of that stuff. You just immediately go to the fun stuff and to the new thing, right? The next thing. So it sort of accelerates that environment and that experience, I think, to some degree.
And I think what made it really comfortable as well is even though we may just know a name or a face, you know, to put a Twitter handle to a face or to put an avatar to a real person kind of just adds that other touch point and makes that connection. You know, I remember, you know, walking in and meeting Connie for the first time. Mm-hmm. And meeting Christina, you know, and all of them, it was, even though I had minor interaction with them, I still felt comfortable and talking to them and being with them just felt like it was someone just down the hall that I hadn't gotten to know very well, but I had the chance to. And that's what made it, you know, my conversations with Holger, you know, I've followed him online for years. We started chatting 2 days before the event and we got there and we spent some time talking together as if we had been friends for months. I mean, and I think, Mike, that's what's happened because of the community, because of the different meetups and social media and things like that. I think it wasn't uncomfortable. I think everyone was comfortable with everyone else, and that's what made it so enjoyable.
Yeah, I think so. The friction got reduced. Now I'm really curious now, so I want to ask Gail her perspective because she really didn't know anyone there. And she went into a different workshop than we did, so we kind of ditched her in some senses. but I think by then, you know, we'd been sort of hanging out and talking to people. She had met a bunch of people that she met Mauro, who she'd met before. So I remember before we went, she had made comments like, well, I'm just going to hang out with Mauro all day because I know him. But what's interesting from my observation is she met a lot of new people. And I think one thing that I forgot about is we met Tanya. Mm-hmm. And Sabine from my German publisher, and Tanya is another published author by the same brand in Germany. So we actually met at a little restaurant beforehand and had lunch together and hung out and had some fun. So when we came as a foursome, which I think sort of changed the dynamic. And then for Gail, provided at least two more people that she knew a little better. But I'm going to stop and have Gail talk about sort of her experience on the Friday night. Not knowing anybody, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and, you know, I knew Mauro, and so I was expecting to just hang out with Mauro. But I didn't. I didn't, not because, well, he had a lot of other people to talk to because it was, you know, his community too. But yeah, I met so many people and was so warmly welcomed. I mean, everybody was talking to me, and probably because I was, you know, Mike Rohde's wife. But it was fun. It was so easy to meet people. And I did the class with Eva Lotta Lamb, which was pretty much just basics of sketchnoting and drawing. And it was really good. I knew nobody in there. And we drew a bunch of things. We drew without looking. We did all sorts of different exercises she had us do, which were very basic, but it felt like it put me on an even playing level with everyone else. And it was good practice for me, and it actually really made me want to come the next day and to learn more, not just to hang out. You know, I've gone to things of yours before where I've sat in the back and been doing my knitting or something completely different, and I wanted to be part of the community. I wanted to learn more. You know, and there were so many different things. You know, I've been hanging around Mike for a long time, and I've heard his workshop several times, and, you know, I know all the basics of that, but to see other people and to hear from other people who have different perspectives and different approaches to it and, you know, different ways of using it was really interesting to me, and I felt like I got a lot out of it and got to meet a lot of people too. I finally got to meet Michael Clayton after hearing stories for about 5 years. So.
true.
Interesting. And I'd say that, so that was the event itself. And we, after the event, I think almost all the people, or a good portion of the people who didn't have to leave for some reason or another, actually went out and did stuff after that. So I would say the sense I got from the whole weekend is, once we sort of got together, nobody wanted to kind of leave. Like, we wanted to keep doing things. So, like, even after that official event, a big group of us just wandered around in Hamburg looking for some place to go eat. And we had Inez was along with us, I think, and she knew a place not too far away with Turkish food.
Good old Mr. Kebab.
Mr. Kebab. And there were no kebabs, so we had to choose something else. But it was really delicious. We sat around the table and, again, we just kept talking. I think we were there probably almost 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Probably, I think we may have closed the place down.
I forgot about that place.
And just, you know, like nobody wanted it to end. Finally, we just had to go back to the hotel so we could sleep, right? Because we knew we had to get up early.
It was me and you and your wife and Mariana and Mauro and Mario and Mark, and then I think that even, a whole bunch of folks even came back after a while.
Yes, a few people came later, yeah.
Yeah, that was a really, really fun evening. And I think that's what's kind of interesting, again, is even on Sunday morning, you know, after the big event, you know, we all got together and met before I had to take off and to go down into that cafe and to still sit around and talk, and, you know, and Didier was there, and so was Lorraine and Karen and quite a few others, and Chris and the name of the other lady is escaping me, but it was fun to do things outside of the structure of the day. And mm-hmm. I think that's where the word community really starts to stand out strong.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, in overall, that just was the feeling, like if there wasn't something planned, then the community would just make something up and go do it anyway. And you know, after you left, then a subset of that community that was still left, we wandered around Hamburg for the day. We went down to the riverfront and we had something to eat, and we caught a ferry down the Elbe River and stopped at one of the stops and had some desserts together, and we were sketching and chatting and came all the way back, and we didn't really separate until that evening around dinner time. And but even then there was still a group that was wandering around someplace in Hamburg, and while Gil and I went and, you know, we had our last dinner in the city before we flew on to Paris. So just sort of this overall environment of people enjoying each other's company and not wanting to separate, just sort of wanting to hold on to the moment and enjoy it, which that was really fun.
And even though I was on a train heading to Berlin, I was checking Instagram and seeing all your pictures and being jealous and wishing I were still back in Hamburg. But it was good. And I think that's kind of how we live, is sometimes we live vicariously,
yeah,
you know, through some of those things we see on social media. And because we're familiar with the faces and the people, we kind of imagine ourselves to be there as a fly on the wall, just listening and lurking.
Yeah. And it's also like, I see you going to Berlin and looking at it from the other perspective, like, oh, I wish I was in Berlin with you. Right. And we sort of cheer each other on. I think that's one thing I like about the community, is it's not, I don't get the sense that there's competition in the sense of like, I want you to fail so I can do better. You know, that kind of a competition. It's more like everyone is supporting each other and wanting things to be other people to succeed, right? Because that means the community touches more people, and then more people can experience what we're experiencing. I think that's what I sense.
Yeah, and you know, when I was in Berlin, you know, giving a talk to the visual thinking or the VisThink group there, it was cool because there were five or six people from the event on Saturday that were there on Monday. You know, Nadine was there, Ava Lotta was there, Katarina was there, Judith was there, Francisco was there, and it was just so cool to see them again, plus a few others that I had met that weekend, and to have that support, you know, to be in a foreign city with people I had never met before, but to have, you know, those familiar faces in the room really kind of helped to ease my fears a little bit and help me through that situation. And I think it's that support,
yeah,
that I really like about that.
I would agree. I mean, Gail and I came in to Hamburg on Thursday, and Inez reached out beforehand, long beforehand, and said, hey, I'd be happy to meet you at the airport and take you to your hotel. I've used to do that as a student. I'd love to offer that, since I was inspired to write a book based on your book. So there, we had someone waiting for us when we arrived, and we had dinner with her and got to know her a little bit. And it was just I agree. It's just sort of this warm welcome and feeling supported, I think, was really great. And everyone I talked to seemed to have a similar feeling.
It's so funny. We're spending so much time talking about everything before and after the event.
Yes.
Kind of think we have to get back to the event itself.
We're framing it. We're sort of painting the outside of the painting. And right in the center of the painting now is the International Sketchnote Camp. So this, to set the tone, this happened in one of the older parts of the city of Hamburg, on an island. I think it was basically a commerce island where they had all these factories where I believe my sense was that they stored goods there to then be shipped out, or there's probably factories that were on that island and, you know, as part of some of the ancient commerce. The other thing I hadn't realized about the city was it was one of the seats of the Hanseatic League. So if you're listening and you want to dig something up on Wikipedia, it was like a commercial league of cities that sort of said that they were the honest business people, and they sort of established this way of doing business a long time ago. And through that, the city became really successful and sort of became this international city. So it's a really, really kind of a cosmopolitan city in that sense, but yet sort of small and welcoming. And we were on this little old island in an old factory building, but it was beautiful. I think we were up on the second or third floor. I can't remember. We went upstairs. I know that. And it was an old loft of a factory building that in this open space where the event was set up. There was a screen and chairs in the main area, and then there was breakout rooms all around. And the back of the room was some stands. So like Neuland, my friends at Neuland were there, and they were showing, letting people test their markers. And there was Sabina from MITP was doing stuff, and all the other publishers were there with books, and we did book signings out in the back. So, I mean, it was a really multi-use space. And then we just sort of came in, people signed in, and for the first part, we sort of milled around until the event started. And then there were just some welcomes, and the Fab Four, which is the four organizers, Diana, Katarina, you have to help me remember Mariana. The name, Mariana.
And Andrea.
And Andrea, yes. So they sort of greeted everyone and got things going. And Then I got a chance to go up and give a keynote speech to the group about the community and being creative and making new things and embracing each other and doing something that's worth, you know, remembering, which was a lot of fun. And then the event sort of took off. I think it was a camp event, so which means if you don't know what a bar camp is like, the people that attend are actually the presenters. So if you have an idea, you can go up and put it up on a grid and pick a spot. And if people want to come, they come to your event. And Michael, you had one of the events in the afternoon, which I heard bits and pieces of. It turned out, for me, the event was more just getting to meet people. I really didn't go to any one session actually very long. I was just more interested in meeting as many people as possible with the time I had. So maybe I'll stop now. And Michael, you can sort of describe the camp itself from your perspective, since you, I think, were a little more integrated into participating. And then we'll get, a perspective from Gail and her perspective of the event as well. So.
So yeah, Mariana and I, we were in charge of the schedule for the bar camp back in Maryland. And so they asked me to help out with the organization and the schedule of the bar camp this time around. And it was really cool to see folks come up and to pitch their different ideas. Now, we had four different rooms that were four different sizes, and we had two different time slots. We had 20-minute slots, and we had 45-minute slots. And so I remember folks coming up to the front and saying, hey, I'd like to talk about this. Who'd be interested? And if a large group of people were interested, we would take and put them in the bigger room. If it was a smaller group, we would put them in a smaller room. And it was really fun. It only took about 20-25 minutes to actually put the schedule together for the day. Mm-hmm. And unlike you, I went to about three or four sessions, but then found myself sitting in the hallway talking to people and dodging in and out of things. But what was really cool was to see the level of interest that everyone had in everyone else's topics, whether the topic was about education or whether it was about using your figures in sketchnotes or discovering the worth of your work or how to switch from analog to digital, or even how to bring sketchnotes to your company. These are all different kinds of things that the participants were there and wanted to participate in. And I think that there was something for everybody. And the best thing that we heard was, oh, I wish I could divide myself up into two or three people and go to some of these different sessions, because there were some really interesting ones. One of the ones that I went to at the beginning was one on whiteboard animations. You know, it's one thing I've been curious about, and I've been trying to test it out. But to go in there and listen to Hank talk about that, it was really cool to sit there. And the thing about bar camps is no one comes with anything pre-made like a slide deck or things like that. And so he just got out a flip chart and started to write things down and ask us questions and answer those questions. And it was cool to see that. And then to go to the next session where Holger was talking about his work visual app and talking about, you know, having a digital workflow to putting in your sketch notes. And then I actually stayed in the same room and Tanya came in and spoke about taking your idea into a book. And Sabine was there to answer questions, and that was really a fun group as well.
Yeah.
And it was sessions like that that were little short sessions that really got you to spark and to think and carry the conversation out into the hallway afterwards and really learn from each other. And I think that was the kind of openness that was there. I think in the end we had four or five different rooms. We had five different rooms and we had seven different slots. So we had 35 speakers or 35 sessions that went on that day. And as I talked to people throughout the day, one of the things I heard over and over again was, well, I know that if I missed a session, I can just hit the hashtag and find a sketch note that somebody did about that session and learn from it that way. And right. I think that that's what a lot of people got out of it, was there was no fear of missing out because we could just rely on other people to help fill in the gaps of those things that we missed.
Yeah, you figure you got a room of at least, you know, 10 to 20 sketch notes. You sort of, you know.
You would hope, yep.
You can throw a stick and, you know, hit a sketch note or doing something that you can read later. Something interesting to consider maybe for next time would be, I know this adds a ton of complexity, but would just to be have a recording device in each room and just record the sessions and process it. It adds another level of complexity, but it could be interesting.
Or what about having a designated person in each room doing sketch notes and compiling right. a sketch note from each session that you would turn into
a document or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the things that Katharina had thought about a little late in the game and chalked it up to, oh, well, we'll just do it next time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good idea. And that's done a lot in other conferences.
Yeah.
And I think that there were some people that were actually periscoping it or doing Instagram Live or Facebook Live. And so there were folks on the outside that were participating as well vicariously through those social media feeds.
Yeah, I think, you know, it adds another layer of complexity. But if you have a little more structure, I think like anything, any good camp like this, you learn a lot by doing it. I think that's sort of the spirit of any kind of a bar camp inspired event is you just do it and you find out what works well and what you could do better. And that's what you do next time. So I think that's a good thing. There's always opportunity to improve. So I thought that it was a lot of fun. Now, Gail, what was your experience with the day itself? Because you were sort of doing a variety of things too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really fun. I got to meet a lot of people just actually standing next to your book signing table. A lot of people that wanted to come up and talk to you, and they realized, hey, I'm Mike Rohde's wife. I'm going to talk to her. So that was really fun. Got to meet some really, really neat people. And, you know, I loved that there were such a variety of sessions available that I was able to find sessions as a novice, being able to take a, you know, sketchnoting for beginners, a hand lettering class. You know, there was stuff that just really resonated with me, and you know, a lot of it would have been completely over my head, but there was still, you know, sessions that, you know, people were willing to do for us beginners, and I just really appreciated that and found a lot of value in that.
I think that's probably the other big advantage of a camp environment. You said we had like maybe 35 sessions, so it's a real good chance that if you're at different levels of skill, like you could find what something that will appeal to you. Probably the downside of like a single track event, you know, where everybody sits in the same room, is there may be events you have no interest in, but you sort of feel like you can't leave, or, you know, you tune out or something. And it's sort of, this sort of builds in that ability to kind of shift, like, oh, this is something I'm not interested in. I'll wander in the other room and find something that fits me. Or maybe I'll take a break in this session and meet some people, and everything is okay to do. There's no wrong way to do a bar camp. I guess, unless you leave, but, you know, it's made flexible for that reason, which is really nice and, you know, kind of a different way to think about using time.
Yeah. I'm looking at the schedule right here in front of me, and you're right, Gail, there was something for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see that. And I think as Mariana and I put the sessions out, we tried to make sure that there was something for everybody, so that no one would get, you know, caught up in everything's too complicated, this isn't for me. And and it's really interesting to see how the schedule shakes itself out, you know, when you walk in without any, you know, preconceived ideas of what's going to happen.
Interesting. After the event, so again, we wrapped the event up. People just sort of wanted to hang around, but eventually we did have to leave the space. And for some who purchased the option, there was an option to have a dinner. You could be part of a dinner. So again, it was a subset of people who went to this dinner thing, and it was in a really cool setting. It was down at the Elba River, and it was in an old fireboat, like a tugboat that was designed for, I guess, putting out fires on boats, or I'm not totally sure what the history of this boat was. But we all met at this boat about an hour and a half later, so we had a chance to go to our hotel or wherever and, you know, freshen up and change clothes or whatever, and then head to this dinner together for, I don't know, how many people would you say were there, Mike? Maybe 30?
I think it was closer to 50.
30 to 50, yeah, something.
It was 40 to 50.
We owned that one room. We filled it up, so... And it was definitely a subset, because I know that, I think from what I've heard, the attendance at the event was around 150, and there were 20 volunteers, so the total was something like 170 or something like that at the event during the day. So it was
one third
of the people signed up. And I guess the other comment I was going to say is, I still remember when we were in Germantown, Maryland, for the event that Rob set up. We were talking with Katarina, and she was really concerned. Like, they had been sort of debating, like, well, what size room do we want? And, you know, they were concerned, like, this is really expensive. If it fails, there could be a lot of money to, like, cover. Like, what if nobody signs up for it? And when we talked to Katarina, we were like, I think it's going to fill up. We need to sort of step out on the limb a little bit and go a little bigger. And Katarina, you know, sort of, we together sort of helped convince them to kind of go a little bigger, and it sold out really fast. Like, I was really shocked. I think it was in a matter of days, like, most of the spots were filled, and then for a while there were a few that were available, if I understand, and then they filled up, and then at the very end a few people had to cancel, so there were, like, spots available for this and that. But I mean, I think the whole thing, as far as I know, was covered. There were sponsors. Like, it was kind of amazing at how well attended and funded and, you know, taken care of. Now, of course, that's because the four women who organized it did a fantastic job, so a lot of credit to them. But it was exciting to see such a response, including this dinner on the fire ship.
Yeah, and I think the cool part of that was, you know, for us who had come over the ocean to come to Germany, you know, it was a really good meal with some really good, authentic restaurant food. You know, I had the Wiener Schnitzel, and I thought that was really good. Mm-hmm. And I sat at the same table as Andrea and the rest of the Volkswagen crew, and even Claire was sitting at my table, and it was four people that I didn't think I was going to be sitting with, and I just did that by myself. I said, you know, I'm just going to sit at this table, and whoever comes and sits with me, that's who I'm going to talk to, you know, because I could have easily taken a seat up next to you at the head table at the top, or gone by someone that I know. But, you know, it was a wonderful conversation and a good time to sit and continue to talk to them. And even afterwards, you know, as folks got up and moved around, you know, as soon as Claire got up to go talk to somebody, Nicole Funky came over and sat down next to me, and we started talking, and it was really cool. And that's what I loved about that evening as well, as, you know, it got to a point where we just didn't want to leave. We didn't want it to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, that bled into Sunday and finding out where people were and sort of, you know, meeting them at this restaurant. And we just, you know, everybody just kept communicating as long as possible until, you know, people would leave for flights or trains or, you know, had to go somewhere else. You know, they sort of grudgingly went off to their thing, and, you know, we'd hug and send them on their way and keep on going. It was like a traveling party, like a whole weekend traveling party, really, of lots of really good friends. And I think that's probably a great way to describe the whole thing, I guess.
And I think that one of the cool things too is the concept of having the one day of the sketchnote camp and the day before as the kind of opening workshop, and then the after party where we got to sit and talk and, you know, eat those peanut butter footballs or whatever those were. Those were strange. but, you know, it was cool. And as we discussed about what the next one might be like, you know, extending the format to 2 days, you know, because we really, you know, we really just didn't want to go. And yeah. You know, a wonderful support. I think we had people there from 16 different countries.
Wow.
I think was the final tally. And to have it over there again and to see, you know, who shows up the next time. I think nearly every hand went up when they asked who would come back for a second one, whether it's held in 18 months or in 2 years. And nearly everybody in the crowd said that they would go wherever the next conference was.
Mm-hmm. And can I just say that the day after when we were in that cafe and there was like 12 people sitting around tables and you're all signing each other's books. And I was just like having this flashback to senior year of high school and signing all of the yearbooks and, oh, sign mine. And it was just such a fun thing to just sit there and watch you all doing this and getting so excited about it and seeing what, you know, other people drew and wrote. And there's just such a sense of community and camaraderie and true friendship. And it was just really cool, kind of being on the outside and just watching that happen. It was really fun.
Yeah, that reminds me, I still have to draw that picture of Mauro as Sketchnote Smurf.
That would be awesome.
Mauro's going to shoot me for putting that on this podcast, but I'm putting it out there in the open.
Well, we can add something to the show notes maybe if you're ready in time. So,
yeah, I'll work on it tomorrow. But yeah, I'll get that Sketchnote Smurf thing going.
Little surprise,
little Papa Smurf.
Yeah. So, do you guys have any last thoughts that we want to end the podcast with? And obviously, if you're listening and you weren't able to attend, we're sorry if we tease you a little bit, but I think it's in a good way. We hope that you come to the next event. I think you can hear just by the way we're talking about it. It was a pretty amazing event, and you'll want to attend the next one just so you can be part of it. I have a sense it's going to have to be bigger next time, because if we have at least the 150 who were at this one and the people who hear about the legend, we're going to have to grow it. So it'll be really interesting to see. Mike, do you have any final parting thoughts about the event and the weekend and your experience?
I think that for those who are listening that want to relive it, about a week and a half ago, I kind of got in a little bit of slump and wanted to go back and relive it. And so I popped open my favorite social media apps, Twitter and Instagram, and just hit the hashtag ISC17HH. And that was the hashtag for the event, and went back and looked at the sketch notes and the pictures. And thank heavens for the automatic translation on my apps, you know, to change it from German and from French. And from every other language in, so that I could read and understand. And I reminisced a lot about the friends that I made and the relationships that I renewed, and the community that I'm a part of. So, you know, even those who went to the event, go back and take a look at that hashtag and relive it. And you'll find links to blog posts, you'll find links to sketch notes, you'll find links to video. And even if you haven't done a retrospective yet of what you thought of it, go ahead and write that and put that on your blog or, you know, put it on Twitter or on Facebook and pop that hashtag in there so the rest of us can go back and get the same feeling and rekindle, you know, those thoughts and feelings that we had while we were there. And I think if there's one thing that really impressed me about the weekend was the level of sheer talent and curiosity that was there. That's one of the things I love about sketchnotes, is you don't have to be this master artist in order to do sketchnotes. And there are some of the simplest sketchnotes that I've seen that have also been the most effective. And I just am enamored and just in awe of those who have attempted to do this wonderful thing, to continue to learn. And I can't wait until the next one. You know, if it does happen in 2018 or 2019, if it is in Portugal or somewhere else, I just can't wait to go back and to do it all over again.
Hmm. Well, thanks, Mike. That's it really sort of sets a tone and gives me the feeling I need to pop open my social media and scan again. Gail, what are your final thoughts about the event and the experience?
I've been to a lot of sketchnoting events with you, and this was by and far probably the most meaningful for me, and inspiring to me to want to do sketchnoting on some level. So the next time you go, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to take me. So.
Well, and as for me, I think you just realize life is so short. Like, these opportunities to have an experience like this, they don't come around all the time. So when they come up, you really have to dive into it and just really enjoy and experience it. And I think we were really fortunate to have this happen. I think it sort of showed that there is a community of people who really care about each other. They care about curiosity and creativity, and they're willing to experiment and really be intimate or honest about what they're thinking. Like, you know, when you do a sketch note, you're revealing what you're thinking, right? That's kind of a big deal, right? A lot of people are afraid of that. And it was fun to see people willing to share what they're thinking and be open with each other, and know that it was going to be well received and returned. And that a community was, that's how we build communities, right? That's how they're knit together. So I'm really excited more than anything about the strength of the community and where we can go with it, and how many other people there's so many millions of people that we still have the opportunity to touch and offer this opportunity to. That's super exciting to me. So I'm really proud of the work that, that everyone did, everyone who attended, the organizers, and that we basically, you know, a group of people decided to invent this thing, and it became to be, right? People got together and they made it happen. And I think that's a really good lesson when you feel like, you know, the world's against you and things are going wrong and, you know, things are imperfect, that you have the power to make things up and just do stuff. Like, you don't always have that sense. You just often feel like the world is just going in a certain way and you just have to ride along with it. That's not necessarily true. You can make new things and you can create new things. And this was just a good reminder and something, a touchstone you can look back on and say, hey, look at this thing we just made up out of thin air. Like, why couldn't we do other stuff? And that's really powerful.
I think kind of a parting thought, and I had to laugh a little bit. Trying to justify my attendance to the conference here on campus was really kind of interesting. At first, my application was denied because they thought that this was just a random meetup of a few people that were getting together. But when I went back and told them the scope of everyone that was there and the international impact it had and the number of people and the number of countries and how this was an inaugural event and this, it kind of opened their eyes because most academics go to established conferences that have been around for years. Mm-hmm. But to be on the cusp of something new and to be a part of that, the committee reassessed my application and supported me on it, which was really cool to see that there are things like this happening on a cutting edge, and being a part of that is, I'm grateful for the community and the part that I am of it. If there's one thing that I heard over and over and over again that weekend, was a lot of people thanking you for your book and for what you've done and for what you started. And Gail and I even sat in the back and chatted for a bit about the scope of what a little book, you know, released back in 2012, 2013, and the change that it's made into what people do in their life and for their work and at school. You hit the first domino, Mike, and this International Sketchnote Camp in Hamburg was just one of many dominoes that will still fall. And I think I speak for all the rest of us out there on social media that we owe it to you for getting the ball rolling, and we're going to run with it as fast and as hard as we can.
Well, thank you. It's definitely humbling and an honor to have had the opportunity to be that, to have that, to sort of make that impact. And hopefully I continue to be an inspiration and guide us to keep on doing good stuff. I think it's exciting for me. That's one of the proudest things I've done is be part of this community.
Some of us had we're talking about renaming the event to Roadie Fest, but we think we'll keep the International Sketch Note Camp. Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, if you've listened to this podcast episode and you made it all the way to the end, that probably means you either attended the event or you're very interested in going next time it happens or to other events that may happen, which I think are probably quite likely now. Now that it's been shown that these events will work and people will attend, I think there's going to be more people taking the chance and trying small and large ones out. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making time to think about this idea. And we encourage you to get involved in the community, to share your work, to get to know people, so that when it's your turn to come to an event like this, you get to experience what we've just talked about for a while here, and that you can make that a rich part of your life too. And we welcome you. So with that, I'm going to wrap the show. Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Gail.
You're welcome.
And we will see you on the next episode of Season 4. We've got a great lineup of people for you. I can't wait to share these episodes I've got recorded. So I look forward to talking to you next time. Until the next episode, this is Mike Rohde, the Sketchnote Army Podcast.